It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Brady, there's so many ways I want to catch your passes.
Catch by Amendola, turns to the outside, dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
We got life. Somebody's making a play. It's Danny Amendola. Playoff Amendola is back.
Your cleft chin makes me such a fool.
He fires and the ball is caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola! Touchdown! Patriots!
It's a catch.
He made the grab just inside the end line. And New England is taking the lead.
I love Tom Brady. Man, Danny, playoff Amendola. I love Tom Brady.
Your balls are the only balls I need.
I love Tom Brady.
My end zone is where I want you to be.
Brady's back! That's your quarterback!
It's one of the best days of my life. I'm sorry about the pandemic. I'm sorry for people getting sick. The city shutting down soon. But I love sports. I'm old. This man, Tom Brady, partnered with Bill Belichick, has brought me a lot of misery. For 20 straight falls, it's finally over. It's finally over. If you listen in hour one, I screamed. I ran around the studio. I just got my voice back. I can't do it. I'm not sick, so don't freak out in studio. But my God, I was gasping for breath. I was hyperventilating. I mentioned when I first heard the news this morning of Brady, right around 7:45, I didn't process it, started working on the show. And then at 1 o'clock, I finally got around to talking to our vast sound department. Great job on that rejoin there, that opened for the 5 o'clock hour. That's one of the all-time great parody songs. I mean, you can feel the love from that singer to Tom Brady.
How's he doing?
Please check on that singer. But I'm telling you, at 1 o'clock, it finally hit me. I'm like, oh, my God. He's no longer a New England Patriot. That's what he announced this morning. He's no longer a New England Patriot. The vast sound crew here at Lotus Broadcasting sent me that song and Zolak screaming. And the laughing, and I started to cry. I'm not lying. My eyes are still puffy.
Wait, were you singing the song around your house today?
No.
How would the cat have reacted?
No, I just leaned back in my chair, and I was just like, oh, my God. Streaming down my face. Tears of joy.
Can I tell you that? When I woke up the second time.
It's finally over. I just said I'm not going to yell, but I'm getting excited again.
When I woke up the second
time. This is awesome.
The second time today. I started singing song. It's the first thing I did.
Did you?
I was just in the shower.
Brady.
I was so happy. Just ecstatic that he's gone.
And here's the thing. For Patriots fans, we're going to be classy. No more of this the rest of the week. No more song parodies. No more old highlights. Nothing highlighting Patriots fans being sad. Literally the worst St. Patrick's Day, Rona. And this with Brady, the worst St. Patrick's Day ever. There's probably a really bad one in the past in Boston, but at least this century. I don't think I'm missing anything. The worst St. Patrick's Day this century in Boston. Can we do the Big Five?
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
Because I would do that for an hour.
Good.
We probably won't get back to
nobody's
Brady.
Nobody's stopping
you. No, we probably won't. We probably won't get back to Brady. That'll do it. Nope! We're going to do more! We're going to do more! It's over! Ah! God, it's awesome. And I cannot wait until all sports come back.
That'd be nice.
This is... Should we do a couple of countdowns? I guess count-ups, is that what they're called? I guess we have to keep track of how many days without games. So what are we on now? Like
five?
Something like that?
Just making up numbers.
Yeah. And today is one TB.
Yeah.
AD is gone.
Yeah, yesterday.
That would be year one. We're going to do it by days.
Sure.
Every day is a new day post Tom Brady in New England. Today is one TB.
Yeah. Yesterday was the
precursor. You're never going to. He's writing it on the board. Yeah, no. You're never going to keep track of that because I'd want to do it. It'll be like 38,000. I won't be alive. TV. All right. So we're waiting for sports to come back. People are throwing out crazy ideas. These are both crazy, but I have a feeling one may happen. Was there a Reddit discussion about the NBA trying to play on an island, but the island is quarantined?
Yes.
Only the NBA participants are allowed on the island, which, by the way, sorry, Nets, that's terrible news today.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant has the coronavirus. Three other Nets tested positive for it. So, again, we're trying to bring levity during these really weird, scary, bizarre times. And we're going to see more celebrities, which I think that's when people have folks around them who test positive, that's when it becomes even more reality because I think there's still a lot of people in denial about how serious this is.
Also, can the Nets say who it is so people can be careful around them?
Oh, they won't name the other three?
No.
Ooh, okay.
And I know Spencer Dinwiddie was on Twitter like, I guess I should probably say one way or the other so people aren't suspicious. And I think CJ McCollum came right at him like, we know it's you. He was messing with him.
Oh, no.
He's like, until you say something, we know it's you.
Oh, man.
And Dinwiddie's
one
like,
of our favorite guys.
Trying to protect everybody.
Can we mention him more times as one of the guys who actually could have kept UNLV going as a point guard recruit who chose Colorado over UNLV, Taft High School? By the way, Ice Cube.
Yeah. Good shout out.
Yeah.
So, yes, this idea, and we should be clear, this is nothing official. This is a Reddit user.
It's not going to happen. They're going to.
I want it to.
Okay.
I'm in for this idea.
NBA playoffs on a quarantine island.
No, the problem is they said find an island with a sports facility that nobody inhabits. I don't think that's going to be tough. You're going to have to build something somewhere.
Hmm.
But they want to find an island where they can set up production crews. In an arena, very small arena because there's no fans.
Hmm.
They want to take the teams that are currently qualified for the playoffs, test them all. Test every player, make sure they're coronavirus free, isolate them. And then the referees, same thing. And the announce crew and the production crew, same thing. And then only those people that have been tested and are clean can get negative, I should say. Clean is not the right term. If you're negative for coronavirus, you can go to the island. And then you stage the playoffs there, and everybody just has to live and work on the island and can't leave.
So it's like NBA Survivor.
And then, yes, as a team is eliminated, they just get on a ship and send them out. And you could do, like, a reality show of them leaving the island.
Can they find an island?
There's got to be an island somewhere, right? Got to be.
I have an island in mind, but I think people will be offended, so...
Where
I'm just not going to go with that one.
Okay.
I did check Maui because they got that nice little gym, but there's already cases there.
Oh,
and they'd have to move everyone off of Maui.
I'm in a group text where somebody sent me yesterday. You can get like business class round trip to Hawaii for like $220.
You going?
Pondering.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's probably not going to be allowed pretty soon.
Why? Yeah, it's essential.
Okay. All right. It's a possibility. It's
essential travel.
I think this was a joke.
I'm going to do a story on Marcus Mariota.
Okay. Related. Is UFC exploring anything else to try to put on its fights? Did I read something today like a ship? Was that a joke? I think someone was joking.
I think someone was
joshing me.
I think they're joking.
But I think that those are the lanes that Dana White would go to. Like, hey, we're going to do it. You know, off U.S. soil, we'll be on a boat.
Just fight island.
No, I mean like on a... like.
No, I know.
Can President Trump give him an aircraft carrier?
Yeah. The public might not be happy with that.
I think it would be a bit irresponsible, but we're struggling right now without live sports.
But can you float a barge out into international waters and hold an event? Now, this is, again, just like the NBA quarantine island idea, is, I think, just people on social media coming up with any plan that they can.
Right.
I would also say, please nobody tell Dana about this. Like, don't throw this idea out there.
Have you talked to him since yesterday?
No.
You talked to him yesterday when everything got canceled.
Yeah.
Can you text him this?
The idea?
Yeah.
I mean, I can. I don't want to. I don't want this happening.
Why not?
It doesn't seem responsible.
Now look at you with a conscience. Go figure.
Yeah. But sure, I'll send it right now.
Okay, please do that. Okay. Top four.
Number four.
Do we laugh at the Colts for signing Phillip Rivers? I will not laugh.
I will.
I think Phil on a one-year deal is going to do a damn good job. Back with one of his old coaches, Frank Reich. I like the signing. You guys are ruining Rivers for me. I don't think it's a terrible signing. I think last year was a down year. I think he's still got football left in him. He's better than Jacoby Brissett.
No. Well,
Andrew Luck's not walking through that door, folks.
I still think Andrew Luck might come back. I still think there's a possibility Andrew Luck comes back. Now, this could hamper that. Because imagine how mad the angry Rivers would definitely come out if the Colts are like, Luck's coming back.
You're the backup.
you're backing up Luck. Good luck with that one. Have fun. Have fun,
might
Phil.
Might be happy to have a chance at a ring.
Have fun, Phil.
You don't like this at all?
No.
It's terrible?
Jameis Winston is available.
Not on a one-year deal. It's a bargain. It's a bargain deal.
There's other guys available.
Okay, let's address this then, right? Because I know you guys are all Rivers haters. You basically hate people of faith. So you don't like Phillip Rivers.
No.
This is where it doesn't make much sense. I want to make sure I'm right on this. What do the Colts?
Tampa Bay plays in Las Vegas next year. I just forgot that they just showed it on the screen.
Oh boy, that's right. Boy, that. Then you know what's funny? That was one of the games where we were like, wow, that's one of those games that actually it'll do great, but the resale on that may not be the best. The resale on all the others will be insane. Do I have the right team? The Colts traded for a defensive tackle from the Niners.
Yeah.
What'd they give up? Wasn't that their first-round pick?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Okay. I mean, the Colts could draft their quarterback of the future later in the draft.
Sure.
But if you're going with Phillip Rivers on a one-year deal, you'd figure he's in front of your next quarterback, right?
Right, but I mean, there was discussion today. Obviously, they're going to try to trade Brissett, I would imagine. But there was discussion today, like, maybe Brissett with another year to sit out.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he's the future.
So they're going to have, like...
I would imagine they're going to try.
Isn't Luck still in their books?
Well, you don't have to pay him.
Okay, but there's no cap hit?
Not a retired guy.
Okay. I thought.
I don't think.
Their quarterback money is north of, because Brissett's on a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So their quarterback money is north of, I guess combined, they're in the 30s. So it's a little bit weird, right? They have no future plan lined up with a one-year guy.
No, not right now. I don't know what.
And now they
gave
up their first-round pick.
Yeah, it was. There was dead money. So last year was 12 against the cap, and this year 6 coming up.
Okay.
So there's some dead money that they have to.
That's a lot of quarterback money.
But it's not his whole, obviously not his whole
right.
deal. But yeah, they have to. That's something that they have to deal with. Rivers coming in now, and they don't have really a plan for the future. They have to draft somebody, I would imagine, unless there's a younger quarterback out there available that they have their eyes on with all this shifting.
I'm going to ask the question. How do you think Chargers fans will feel seeing Rivers in a Colts jersey? Don't.
There's kind of a rivalry there.
Do you think they're going to be mad? That's where he landed?
The Chargers fans?
Yeah.
Well, I think the Chargers fans are going to be annoyed that he's anywhere. I think they would have preferred him retire, right?
I don't know about that. I mean, the Chargers fan I live with, she said that it won't hit her until she sees him in the Colts uniform, and then she'll be sad. Because I was like, hey, you're going to be sad about Rivers? That's actually how the conversation went, as I yelled from another room. Just thinking about that. Like, there's no face-to-face conversation.
Well, you can't. You got to be 6 feet apart.
Mm-hmm. We're doing social distancing.
Talk through the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would have been weird no matter where he goes. I do. And I think, but I do think it's different that he's in the AFC. Like, Brady's going to the NFC. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
I think when you go to the AFC, and they've had some you know, interesting playoff history between those two franchises, that I do think it'll be a little bit of a shock to the system for Chargers fans, like myself, longtime Chargers fans who are now going to have to watch Philip Rivers
such,
play.
This is such
somewhere else.
Such buffoonery. We'll get to your Bills inside of 5 minutes. Take it. Stop.
I'm wearing a Chargers hat right now.
You have it just for one player. You're not a Chargers fan.
Do I not have a Chargers hat on?
And then you swear
right
you, you know, during the season, I can't really be a fan. So this is all kind of a game. Top three stories.
Number three.
All right, there's really interesting stuff going on with the Panthers. So Teddy Bridgewater is going to be with the Panthers, right?
Yes.
3 years, $63 million. But the other part of the story, because we can break down that decision by both Bridgewater and the Panthers, is Cam Newton is now all peeved.
Yeah.
I think he has a right to be.
So do I.
Well, I don't know why they – well, we explained why they were playing the game a while back and with his injury to make sure that he has some trade value, but I feel like he got a bit blindsided. I don't know why they had to play the nonsense of saying, hey, you know, we're very into him. You know, the new coach, we're very into him.
Because
– Matt Rhule, I see a bright future. He's a hard worker. Really admire the guy. And then it's like – then they go and sign – you know, and they didn't just turn the page – for a one-year guy like Rivers, like, this is their next franchise quarterback. Just tell him.
Well, this is the exact situation that the Patriots are in, except Tom Brady was a free agent. So they didn't have to do this.
Right.
Cam Newton is not a free agent. So they have to play it this way. The Patriots went through this whole, like, see what we can do, and then putting out statements, hey, we love the guy. Tom just made the announcement he's leaving. And you could do this PR work, you know, without having to deal with this. The Panthers have Cam Newton under contract. And he's not the same level as Tom Brady, but he is a longtime fan favorite. He's been there for forever. He's been the franchise quarterback. He's been the face of the organization for a while. So they couldn't have that same, hey, this is mutual and we're moving on. They tried to give everybody an easy out and put out on Instagram, which I still think is a bad move, but they put it out. Hey, the Panthers have given Cam Newton permission to seek a trade, basically saying, hey, he wants out. If he finds a place that he wants to go, we'll try to work something out. We'll help him out. It was an easy out. And then Cam could have come back and said, like, you know, appreciate all my time here. I'm moving on to other opportunities. This is what I want to do. But Cam's like, no. I'm not going to let you get off this easy. I'm not going to let you sell this to the fans. I don't want to leave. You're forcing me out. So he just came right back out and commented on the Instagram post and just said, just so we know, this is wordplay. This is not what I want. They're forcing me out. So he didn't give them that soft landing spot that the Patriots and Tom Brady had because Brady was a free agent.
Number two.
There was a massive deal last night. This was after another massive deal yesterday. That was DeAndre Hopkins going for a second and David Johnson to the Cardinals. Hey, Stephon Diggs complained, bitched, moaned, complained. Vikings finally said, all right, that's enough. And then for many people, they think the Bills backed up the Brinks truck.
They did.
Forced Stephon Diggs.
They did. Give up the first-round pick.
And if David Johnson comes back and is 70% of what he was, then that's a hell of a player the Texans got. If he's not, then everyone's screaming that DeAndre Hopkins just fetched less a second than Stephon Diggs, who got a first. They have a case.
Yeah. Now, because of that trade, this trade would have made a ton of sense for the Bills. You needed a weapon at wide receiver. You're going to take one in the first round. You're going to take one in the first round anyway. I'd rather have Steph Diggs than taking my chance on Ruggs or, you know, whoever you're going to try to take, Rieger, somebody. You're going to – Justin Jefferson is, I think, who I had them in my last mock. Probably going to be a really good player. We don't know. You know Steph Diggs is a really good player. So to give him a first-round pick and some more.
You're really tight with Steph Diggs now. Yeah.
But to give up
former Bills fan, former Bills
fan, to give up what they, Stephon Diggs, listen to me right now,
right,
could have 150 catches and 2,000 yards the next three seasons. It's a bad trade because of what happened earlier in the day. You can't give up that much for Stephon Diggs when the Texans got nothing in return.
Again, David Johnson has a chance to return. I don't have faith that he's going to anywhere near his form from a few years back.
No. No matter what happens, it's a bad trade. Who was asleep? And I think the Bills front office is tremendous. Who was asleep on this trade happening? When it's going through, is there no talk? Is there no agent talking to anybody? And you say, wait a minute. We're about to give up a first and a couple extra picks for a guy who's a pretty good receiver. They're about to give up A second-round pick and an aging running back? You want Frank Gore in a first-round pick? If you want an aging running back, we got one for you. If you're the Bills, I don't know what they're doing. How can you let that happen? How do you let DeAndre Hopkins go for that, and then you trade what you do for Stephon Diggs? That's a bad deal.
Number one.
So Tom Brady's gone from the Patriots. It's over. Had the letter this morning. Nicely written letter. Belichick fired back with his... Not fired.
I thought we were done with Brady.
He he wrote... Yeah, I know. We're going to be respectful. We're not going to laugh at the Patriots and their fans.
No, we're not.
Belichick wrote a note or made a comment. Some people said it didn't really sound like him.
No.
Kraft immediately started doing PR cleanup, saying that, hey, we wanted Tom Brady back. He didn't want to come back. If he wanted to be back, we would have made a deal. We don't believe that.
No.
Belichick doesn't want him back.
Nope.
Kraft is trying to, be good cop. Belichick is, mute cop, but really, no, he's bad cop in these cases. And we're not even hating on him, right? You're not hating on him.
No.
You said all along, they don't want Brady.
No.
That's going to be the decision. Belichick was, we both believe Belichick was ready to move on with Garoppolo, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely believe that.
And this time around, he's like, I'm not doing that again. This is my decision. He's gone. All right, we're moving on. Listen to me.
It's easier now because then you would have had to trade him, and then you look like total jerks. Here you're just like, hey, we couldn't come to a deal. Never offered him one, but we couldn't come to a deal.
Let's talk about legacy and the risk of going to the Bucks here in just a couple minutes, but real quick. I'll give you the floor. Cam Newton's available.
Sure.
Hey, maybe you could even get Derek Carr in a trade.
Yeah.
You can get Mitch Trubisky in a trade. You can pick up some of these other guys who are out there. I feel like I missed five more quarterback signings today, but Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. None of those compare to the love of your life now in the NFL. He's your new Ty God.
Jameis?
Yes.
Sure.
Is that the guy the Patriots need to get? And not only need to see, here's what you gotta consider. Those other guys I named, most of them are quick fix. Cheaper options. This could actually take a real contract. Does Belichick want to commit 3 or 4 years, $80, $100 million plus, big bonus to Jameis Winston? You got to take all that into account.
No.
Is he the best guy for the job?
No. I think it would be great. I think it would be fun. I might become a Patriots fan if they did it. The Patriots are just they're in a different place. Different quarterbacks fit different places better. And so I feel in this case, you've got Jameis Winston, who is a gunslinger, no question about it. He likes to take risks. That's why he put up so many numbers. That's what he is. The Patriots are built as a team to defend and to kind of play safe offensively, make plays when they're needed to be made. I think you want a guy that's more mobile, that could do those types of things. I wouldn't have a huge problem with Nick Foles being in that spot. There's just guys that I think fit better that could put the Patriots in a good spot. I think if they do this right, they don't even take that big of a step back. I think they could still be potentially a favorite in the AFC East if they do this right. But I don't think Jameis fits what they want to do. I don't think he fits what they are. I do think, and you mentioned the other guy, a guy like Foles would be a good fit. I think Tyrod Taylor would be a good fit if Jameis goes to the Chargers. Then you get a guy like that in. A guy who is not going to turn the ball over, who's going to make plays when he needed to be made, let the defense do its job because that's how they're built. That's where I think they'd be better. But I think there are options out there where the Patriots don't even take a big step back from losing Tom Brady.
It's the Big 5 at 5, brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured, call Justin Watkins at Battle Born Injury Lawyers, 570-9000. Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota Studio.
All right, Adam, why did Tom Brady go to the Buccaneers? Because that's the news now. He turns down the payment. He moved away from the Patriots. Yeah. The Patriots were not bringing him back. I think that's pretty clear, even if Kraft says, hey, we could have gotten a deal done if Tom wanted to come back. Why did he choose the Buccaneers? And is this going to be one of those cases we look back? Like, what if the Patriots, what if they get? Let me restate it. It's Bill Belichick. Maybe he can get anyone. The year that Castle played, listen, it didn't work out in the end, to a 14-win season, but they were okay that year, right, when Brady tore his ACL.
Yeah.
They went 11-5, if I recall correctly. What if he gets Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Nick Foles, and they're good? They're a top three team.
I think they could be.
In the AFC. They could be a top three team in the AFC, and Brady is on the Bucs, and the Bucs are the Bucs. The Bucs are the same old Bucs outside of what they did with, well, that's not fair because the Bucs have had moments in their history, a hell of a run with Dungy and then Gruden. What if the Bucs are the recent Bucs and they're, you know, 7-9, 8-8, 9-7 team and they're just not good?
Very well could be.
Yeah.
Not an easy division necessarily. I mean, the Panthers look like they might be tanking perhaps, but you've got still the Saints are really good.
The Panthers could be tanking with Bridgewater.
I think so.
Wow.
They're getting rid of some other guys. I think they're trying to build up. I think they trust Bridgewater maybe next year, the year after, but I think they're going to try to tank this year. At least kind of, you know, at least try to build up whatever they can. For next year.
I guess Saints. Well, no. Brees is going to be around for the same amount of time as Brady.
He just signed a new deal. So Saints are still going to be good. I think the Falcons take a big step up. And so the Bucs should be right there. But it's no guarantee that they're going to win the division. Their defense was awful last year. It's going to have to get a lot better. They are.
How do they get better if they spend $30 million on a 43-year-old quarterback?
I don't know. But if the question is why the Bucs? Why did Tom Brady choose the Bucs? There could be multiple answers. I am actually kind of leaning right now to it's the only offer.
Only serious offer of that kind of money.
Yeah.
Now, that's the other fascinating thing. Is he going to escape here with this? Well, teams, I think, are saying, hey, we didn't make an offer. What if it was the Chargers? I'll leave it at the Chargers and the Raiders offered, you know, 25 a year. We don't know if the Raiders did. 25 a year, and he took more money to go to the Buccaneers. Would he do that?
Maybe.
It's probably more believable what you're saying, that this was the – it was one of the only legit offers and lucrative.
Yeah, and because and then the other factors, first of all, if we are to believe the reports from earlier today, he wanted somewhere where he can get on a plane and be home within an hour and a half of home, New York. So Florida would make some sense. And then the other one – is if he is really frustrated about a lack of offensive weapons in New England, here you go. Here's as good of offensive weapons as you could possibly have at all the receiving positions. You've got everything you need and an offensive mind as coach. So maybe he just wants to go air the ball out. Maybe that's what he was thinking.
Man.
Because there was if he had options and he could have picked anywhere he wanted to go, you would think he would have gone somewhere that is more ready to win it all, and the Bucs don't seem to be that team. So I think it's one of those. Either he really wants to just throw the ball all over the field, and he likes the weapons there, or it was the only offer.
Wrap your head around this one. You will be rooting for the Buccaneers this year. Don't let your Winston love. Is that going to get in the way? Aren't you going to be rooting?
I want the Bucs to be better than the Patriots.
Here's my theory. That most Tom Brady haters, I'm not going to do that. I was going to say most Tom Brady haters over the years are actually going to root for him to do well in Tampa to kind of stick it to the Patriots. That people dislike Belichick more than they dislike Brady.
Yeah.
Or is that just me?
Probably just you, maybe.
I'll be rooting for the Buccaneers. I hope they do well. And plus, I'm a big Bruce Arians guy. Like the hats.
You grew up in Florida.
Like the glasses. Yeah, long-time Florida guy.
So, it's easy. I love
Not
Arians.
Not buying that one yet. Huh?
Arians is
Give
my
it
guy.
Time. Give it time. There's going to be a lot of people who will change their tune on Tom Brady and don't want to see him get embarrassed and, you know, watch the Patriots still go freaking 13-3 or 14-2.
Hit up Cofield and Company on Facebook. Like ESPN Las Vegas.
Lewis. The back with Mariota.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota Studio.
We have not mentioned the Raiders today outside of the fact that we question if Gruden and Company, Mayock and Company, made an offer to Tom Brady. Marcus Mariota became official last night as a quarterback on the Raiders. It feels like it was a week ago.
Yeah.
Like, that's how much has happened the last 18 hours. Vic Tafer covers the Raiders for The Athletic. Vic, these are crazy times, my friend.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
It's been completely nuts. All right. So let's go back. Let's talk about some of the Raiders moves here in a couple of minutes. I want your reaction to what just unfolded today with Tom Brady telling the Patriots goodbye, and the Buccaneers are the choice. What do you think?
I think we all kind of saw that he was leaving the Patriots. For whatever reason, after 20 years, they realized they needed to go their separate ways. I think I kind of get the sense both sides were cool with that. I think Belichick wanted to kind of move on and do his thing, and Brady wants to go somewhere else and kind of maybe prove that he can do it without Belichick. As far as the Bucs go, I kind of scoffed a month ago when I first came off. I like the Bucs. But actually, it kind of makes sense. I mean, it's on the East Coast. Bruce Arians definitely is a quarterback guru type guy. He's definitely took Kurt Warner, Super Bowl almost with Arizona that one year. So I think he's done this before as far as bringing in old veterans and kind of, working with them to get the offense where they're both happy with it. I think they're not a bad team. If you look at their record last year, I mean, they could have been 9-7 or 10-6 if not for all the Jameis interceptions. So there's definitely some talent. They made some moves yesterday on defense. So, I mean, I guess, I was not as surprised as I thought I'd be, I guess. I was more surprised, to be honest, about Philip Rivers getting $25 million from the Colts. That one blew me away, because that's not what I saw watching Rivers the last couple of years, live and on game film.
Well, the Bucs put a lot of money into Tom Brady for, I guess, the next 2 years. Can he play secondary?
Well, I mean, he's still going to draft. I'm just going to draft someone. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely receivers that are really good. So I think that was his problem last year with the Patriots. He hated the receivers they had. They even tried to bring Antonio Brown to his house. That's how desperate he was. He actually had Antonio Brown move in for a while. But that's definitely a strength of the Bucs. They have good receivers. So I don't know what the defense, but they still got a ways to go with the draft, and they have some talent, on the roster.
You referenced the deal with Rivers to the Colts. Obviously, you've seen a lot of Philip Rivers the last couple of years. What are the Colts thinking here?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, the moves are all like the Buckner trade is a nice move. They obviously want to win now. But I guess their belief is that their O-line is so good. That he won't have to move. Rivers can just stand still and deliver the ball. Won't have to move an inch. Which, if that's true, maybe it works. But Rivers was great. A few years back, a long career, Hall of Fame guy. Yeah, maybe. But the last 2 years, especially this past year, he was pretty rough. I mean, just kind of that YOLO, throw it up for grabs kind of style, which is not going to work well with a team trying to win with his defense. But whatever, that one blew me away. I knew they were going to go, someone would take him at some point, but $25 million for 1 year based on what he did last year with a pretty good Chargers offensive talent around him. Just whatever.
Vic Tafer, Raiders insider. All right, let's talk about the Raiders signings. First of all, they brought in a backup quarterback in Marcus Mariota, right? That's it? He's the backup?
Yeah.
There's nothing. Is something going to happen with Carr? Is there another plan? Mariota's a backup, right?
He's a backup, yeah. I think kind of in a similar way to like the situation last year in Tennessee where they brought in Tannehill as the backup. When he came in, there was no question about him fighting Mariota for the spot. He was the backup. But over time, if he gets comfortable in the offense and maybe there's some slippage, he can maybe get a shot. But that's not the plan right now. The plan right now is he's the backup. But with benefits, with upside, there's definitely Heisman Trophy winner, had some good years a few years back. I think Gruden's excited about his toolbox. So, but definitely comes in as the backup right now.
And you agree, Adam? Nothing's happening with Carr. Mariota's the backup.
I mean, anything can happen. It's a wild, crazy world. I believe that they're bringing in a backup that they believe could be a starter. Is I think what they're looking at. I don't think they're bringing in Mariota and saying he's the backup forever. I think they think he has upside. If you look back at the analysis that both Mayock and Gruden have given on him in the past, and that's a benefit we have with the Raiders of kind of hearing some of the thoughts that these guys have had on players before because they're in the media, they were both incredibly high on Mariota. So I don't know how much their opinion has changed. Clearly not much. They signed him. But I think they'd be comfortable if he wins, the job at some point, not in training camp. He's going in training camp as a backup, but at some point if he was a starter, I don't think they'd hate it. But, yeah, I think he's the backup right
Vic,
now.
Vic, your thoughts on what Adam just said?
Yeah, I agree. And one thing that really favors Carr and other incumbents around the league is that there will probably be no offseason workouts. It's probably going to wipe out all the OTAs. You probably won't have guys showing up till training camp, if that. So I think it'd be really hard for guys coming into a new team, learn a new system, learn the new receivers and the new schemes, blocking schemes, and be able to take over a job from somebody else, like Derek Carr. So I think Mariota, a big enough adjustment period, just to kind of learn the offense, getting comfortable, and let alone trying to win the job.
Talk about what the Raiders did at linebacker, led by the signing today of Corey Littleton.
I think it's huge. I think, I've been covering this team for 10 years, and the linebackers have not been good. I made a list of all the guys who played. My story's not posted yet, but it will soon. But, like 15 guys who played linebacker for Gruden in the last 2 years alone. I mean, and none of them very well. So I just think that you got two guys today, Littleton. Yesterday you got Kwiatkowski, who's an up-and-coming player. Littleton can do it all. Littleton can cover. He can tackle. He's 26 years old. Just a real bright spot, breaks up a lot of passes. Kwiatkowski can blitz a little bit, also has improved his coverage skills. But just two guys who really can get after it, and that's something that's not been bad linebacker for the Raiders for a long time.
They got two Cowboys. Let's talk about these guys. The reaction to one has been some confusion on Jason Witten.
They got Jeff Heath, the safety. They got Malik Collins, defensive tackle.
Good point. Three guys.
Jason Witten. Jason Witten definitely shocked me. I think you still there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My bad. So, yeah, Jason Witten, 37 years old, retired for a year, was in the booth, was terrible in the booth. God bless him, but he was.
God bless him? He throws it at God bless him. Year. Okay.
Guy came back last year. He was all right. I think 60 catches or so for 500 yards, but definitely not a guy who can stretch the field. I know he blocks a little bit, but I just don't get it because, to me, one of the strengths of the team last year was the tight end group. I think that room was very strong. So, obviously, Witten can come in and help mentor guys and be a leader, but that room was fine the way it was. So, I don't know why you'd spend up to $4.7 million with incentives. Why you would spend that money when you have needs elsewhere? I don't get it. But, I guess people are going to like him. He's a nice guy. And Foster Moreau, where he put on social media, he's really excited about, guys along with his idols. And that's great. I just don't understand the need at that position to do that, but what do I know?
I think I already know that you're going to be just as confused as me here. So, but I'll ask it anyway. What is his role?
I don't know, because right now, if I make a depth chart out right now, he's my fourth tight end. And that's obviously Derek Carrier, I think, is kind of underrated. That does a lot of things, special teams, and does a lot of stuff in the three tight end sets. And Foster Moreau is kind of the red zone guy. I know Witten's Mr. Red Zone guy, that's who's going to help, but that's kind of was Moreau's job last year. So Moreau had knee surgery. Everything I hear is he'll be back by in training camp. So I don't really know what his role is going to be. I don't know if he's going to take away time from Moreau or just be there for camp. But yeah, that's one thing I can't figure out. I don't, unless they move on from Carrier, which I think would be a mistake. But I think Carrier is underrated. So I think, like I said, I think that group was fine. Really, actually better than fine. So I don't know where he fits in.
They do bring in Carl Nassib. I think a lot of people remember him from Hard Knocks. He was a star of one of the seasons. What does he bring?
He's a pass rushing guy. He only had 13 sacks the last 2 years. I think 6.5 last year, 6 the previous year. He's got some burst. So I think he's kind of like the guy you bring in for Benson Mayoa. Benson Mayoa was a guy last year who kind of fell out of favor a little bit, but he had 7 sacks last year for them, I think. So he kind of was a younger version of Mayoa, probably a little better in the run game than Benson was. So, I mean, that's what he does.
Hey, Vic, let's close on this. You mentioned it, that you got on your soapbox yesterday. There's been about 800 tweets since then, but you got a lot of guff, or some, for what you wrote. I think I was saying the same thing that you were saying in this tweet, that maybe the league should push back what's going on right now. I've enjoyed it. It's been great, but what were you thinking?
Yeah, I said what I said. People disagree with me, but here's the thing. It's been fun, all this Brady stuff, and everyone's getting excited about Jameis Winston's future. But in 3 or 4 days, people are going to go back to reality, and it's not good. I just think the schools probably in California will be closed through the summer now, and a lot of unknowns about what's going to happen to people's jobs and livelihood. I just don't understand why the league had to do it right now. All this excitement could have been there, 2 months from now whenever they did it, so I get it. Some fans wanted the diversion. Yeah, obviously, NFL Network, we needed the nonstop programming. So I backed off. I mean, I've been busy the last couple of days. I guess that's been good, keep my mind off things. But, yeah, I still believe what I said. I think it was kind of ridiculous. I think if you look at the grand scheme of things, I'm not sure this really matters. And it could have been pushed back to help people focus on what does. But that's me.
Yeah, but would you watch the UFC if they fought on a barge?
Well, I watched the UFC if they fought on a barge. I might watch it. Whatever. I mean, I guess I'd be guilty as fans would. So, yeah, I mean, Dana White obviously backed down. Dana White was talking a big game. He had to cancel all those fights. So even he realized, or someone told him, hey, this may not be the best thing.
Told him. Nevada finally stepped in. They were like, all right, you can't move fights here either, Dana. Sorry. All right, Vic.
Take a break. It'll be there when you get back. That's the thing. It'll all be there if things get back to normal. So I think I'm not sure what the rush was. That's my biggest question. Why it had to be this week.
Hope all is well with you. Stay safe. We'll talk to you, Vic.
All right, guys. Take care.
There you go. Vic Tafer, Raiders insider with The Athletic. We're about 10 minutes away from going live to Governor Sisolak as he's going to have another address about safety with the coronavirus around the state of Nevada.
The crew over at Findlay Toyota speak Spanish, Thai, and even Persian. In fact, they speak 14 different languages. Come in and talk the universal language of big savings today.
Cofield & Company presents...
Hey, hold on. Bag up.
Grab bag.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I've seen a lot of people trying to pitch in entertainers. Just watching some new special here with one of the guys from Broadway. Maybe there's some live streams of Broadway folks. I just saw John Legend singing Yo-Yo Ma.
Can be no Broadway show, so they got plenty of free time.
I might have to put some karaoke up tonight.
Well, not with the cat.
Not with the cat who bit the SO, yeah, significant other, yesterday because the cat didn't like her voice.
It's not nice.
Back in there.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
One thing on the Chargers, not getting Tom Brady, is it such an awful break? You retweeted this one earlier from a Jason. He said, if you don't sign Tom Brady, you can afford to pay a quarterback at number 6 to sit on your bench for a couple years. You can afford Bulaga. You can afford Trufant. You can afford Bosa. You can afford Allen, who, by the way, is vastly underpaid now. And now that he makes 10.5 and other wide receivers, the top guys are making like $17, $18, $19, $20 million dollars. If you did sign Tom Brady, you can afford Tom Brady and one of the above. So it wouldn't have given the Chargers a whole lot of flexibility.
No, not at all. And I think that's why we've been discussing the market on Brady. I think that's part of why it wasn't what he probably expected, what a lot of people probably expected. I think a lot of people thought every team would be like, here's our checkbook, what do you want? And I think a lot of teams are like, he's 43. There's not a whole lot of flexibility if you sign him.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Quick thought on the defensive additions for the Raiders. I mean, I know it's quick to process here, and we're going to be hitting it a lot, but Nassib, Jeff Heath, Corey Littleton, Kwiatkowski, Malik Collins.
They've been kind of stockpiling just solid players. Guys that are going to be NFL starters, that nobody's going to jump off the page and be like, wow, you signed this guy. Like, they haven't had that kind of a deal, but they're just like, okay, this guy's a good, productive NFL player. He's a good, productive NFL player.
That they're not overspending and going crazy.
I think it's good. Now, I think they should try to make a splash at corner. I think that was one area that they were going to look at. There's not really many elite corners in the draft. There's a couple that could be, but no slam dunks.
Their trade?
Outside of Okuda, but he's going to be long gone. Maybe. That could be a possibility. I think Harris is still out there, I believe, if nothing's happened in the last couple hours. That would be a guy I think that they should really target and go after. Losing out on Jones yesterday was, I think, troubling. They made a huge offer to him, and they didn't get him. So, I like what they're doing.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Steve Sisolak, Governor, coming up. We're actually going to play the presser right here on ESPN Las Vegas. You got a weird one?
Yeah, a lot of politicians have been speaking, kind of telling their citizens, hey, be careful, you got to stay home, and we expect a major announcement here from Steve Sisolak about how things are going to run here the next couple of weeks in Nevada. But the mayor of Buffalo went and gave a speech today. Byron Brown had to make sure he told people, hey, listen, we understand you're happy right now, But, quote, just a reminder, bars and restaurants are open for takeout and delivery only. So for those of you who want to celebrate Tom Brady leaving the Patriots and hopefully leaving the AFC East for good, there should be no mass gatherings.
It's a good reminder. All right, we're coming back with Steve Sisolak.